Have your Bibles this morning if you'll find your way to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. I will admit this is not the sermon I prepared for this morning. I was actually going to be in Luke chapter 18, but I just feel like perhaps this message would be better suited, I guess. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It deals with an invitation that God had extended. Well, it wasn't God. It was a story that relays a heavenly message, so it's theoretically a God extending invitation to us, but it tells about this man who made a great supper, and he invited many people to come to it, and many of them gave excuse as to why they could not attend this supper. And so this king, this rich man, invited more people, whoever he could find, to come and be a part of this great supper. And it goes in to give a very valuable lesson in a spiritual matter. And so I want us to read Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse number 15. It says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray that you would have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray that you would have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant said and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, God, for your word, and Lord, thankful for the invitation that you have given so graciously to each and every one of us to come and to, Lord, to experience the grace that you have and that you have freely given for us. And God, we are thankful this morning for salvation. We're thankful for that grace and that mercy that you give us. And God, we pray now that as we look at your word, that you would hide me behind that precious cross of Calvary. Lord, that these dear folk not see me today, but they would see you. Speak to our hearts, and Lord, may we do that you have called us to do. And for whatever you do here this morning, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. There is a deep aching and longing for the soul of man to belong, right? We all want to belong somewhere, and certainly is something to be wanted and to be welcomed, right? We come to church and we expect to be welcomed into the church, right? Of all people, Christians should be welcoming to newcomers into the church. And likewise in the school system, we want the kids to feel welcomed and safe in the school, knowing that they can trust and be a part of activities in the classroom and all those things. And so it's something to be wanted, to be welcome and to be fed. I was out in a restaurant this week, and I don't normally go in to eat, but I did this particular time, and there was a gentleman, which if y'all know about Memphis, it's not uncommon to see someone who appears homeless, right? They're everywhere, and this gentleman was sitting on a park bench going into the entrance of this restaurant, and he wasn't asking for money. He wasn't asking for anything. He was just sitting there, and he had had his sign all made up off of cardboard, and he had his little bag of the belongings that he did have, and he was, most of them are pretty obnoxious when it comes to asking for things, but this gentleman just sat there, never said a word. He looked rough, looked like he'd been up all night, right? He was looking, he looked the part, I guess you could say. And the more I sat in that restaurant, the more I was convicted, right? I was like, I'm comfortable, right? I'm in a suit and tie, and the Lord's taking care of me, and I'm sitting in here and eating this meal, and something told me to give to this man. Now, I walked out to give him money, and as I was walking out to give him money, another lady had just bought him a to-go box of food to give to this man. And tears rolling down his face, he replied and said, "I'm so thankful that y'all did this because I was going hungry tonight." Now, what he did with the money, I don't know. That's not on me, right? That's all on him. But sometimes we want to feel wanted, right? And there are some that take advantage of good people, right? But nonetheless, we as Christian folk are to be those that shine in someone's dark life. And the more I thought about that gentleman, as I was even sitting here on the pew this morning, it kept coming back to me. This story, this parable that Christ is sharing about this man who had this great supper, right? He had prepared this great meal. Now, we as Baptists, especially us preachers, we don't turn down a meal, right? If the invitation is extended, most of the time we will be in full agreement to take you up on the invitation. But this man made this great supper and he invited many. He sends out this invitation to this grand banquet here, and kind of shows us the banquet that God is preparing for His people. It's a banquet of grace, a feast of grace. No one earned this invitation. This wasn't something that someone could buy a ticket for and have a seat guaranteed for them. This was something that was given. This invitation is not a meager meal here, but it is a full course meal. And that speaks of the fullness that we have in Christ, that forgiveness, that reconciliation, that communion with Him, the joy that we have. It is much like the wedding feast of the Lamb that someday we will all partake of. And yet, in the midst of all of this grandness, right, there were those who refused. There were those who refused. And so we see the invitation, but we also see the excuses. Notice the tragedy here. These excuses were not even great excuses, right? I've bought a field. Who buys land without looking at it? Right? You want to look at the land before you purchase it. I've bought oxen. So again, who buys cattle or horses or any kind of livestock without first looking at it, right? And that last one is probably one of my favorites. I've married a wife. I can't come. It's almost like she is giving permission, right? No, you can't go for you married people. These excuses, though, notice that none of these things are necessarily evil, right? They're not bad. They're good things. It resembles this work and property and marriage. All of these are good things. But in the midst of their goodness, they have become evil. And that's when it becomes a replacement for what God has called us to do. The tragedy is not in the wickedness here, but in the distraction. Their sin is not necessarily rebellion, but it's more indifferent, right? They're placing their worldly affairs ahead of what God has called them to do. And this is the warning to the church today, that we are surrounded by invitations, right? I can tell you, I get hundreds of emails, right? I think we all can attest to this, that most of it goes to the spam folder of where people wanting you to buy this product, where somebody's done sold your information to someone else, and they have the best cure for this and the best sleep you could ever have, right? We have all of these invitations and advertisements and the entertainment of today. And yet God's invitation somehow gets lost in the middle of all of it. This invitation becomes like a later, not now, right? We put God on some shelf in the distance and we say, Lord, I'll come to you when I need you, when the times are tough and when things are rough, and that's when I'll come. God does not ask us to fit us or fit Him into our schedule. He calls us to reorder our lives around Him. Notice here that after all of these excuses were given, the servant, it says that in verse 21, it says he came and showed his Lord these things, and then the master of the house, being angry, said, go quickly. Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Do it with haste, right? There's no time to wait, right? We was talking as I was coming in this morning and how, the time is near. I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, and I'm not trying to be, and I don't know when the Lord is coming back. I would never profess to ever be able to tell you when the Lord is coming back. I just know it's soon, right? Sooner today than it was yesterday, right? It's going to be sooner, as the apostle said, it was soon then, so we've got to be soon now. I don't know when, but I do know that it's near, right? And so this servant said, we don't have time. We must go into the streets and to the lanes of the city to spread this gospel. That homeless man sitting on that park bench the other night, you know what his words to me was as I walked away? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And I thought about that. You know, I may not ever see that man again. Probably won't ever see that man again. But I hope that he remembers the goodness of God. God provides. And so it is here that this man, he had provided this meal. He invited many. Some gave their excuses. And so he went out into the streets, into the lanes, and he went to get whoever would come. Whoever. And notice what the servant says there in verse 22. He said, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room. There is room. Dear friend, we look at our church today, and there is room. Amen. There is room. This side looks good this morning, right? We got to work on y'all's side over here. Oh, that's what it is, yeah. But we look around and we see we have room. You look at the cross when Christ was hanging there and dying in agony and in pain, and he looked down. You remember all the masses of people that was following Christ throughout the Gospels? Where were they? They wasn't there. Sure, they went to witness him being hung, but when the darkness came, what happened? They scattered. You know who was at the foot of the cross when Jesus took his last breath? John, Mary, and the other Mary. Three people. It's an old gospel song, and maybe I'll do it sometime if I can find the words to it. And it says, while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You remember the old hymn that says there's room at the cross for you? Dear friend, there is still room at the cross, right? And I'm so thankful that though millions have come, yet there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Verse 23 says, Lord, it's done. Verse 22 says, it's done as you commanded, and yet there is room. Then the master, the Lord, said to his servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I would suspect that this was probably some grand affair, right? This master of the house had taken the time, and I know you ladies that cook can relate to this. It takes time to prepare meals, right? Especially if you're preparing for a larger than usual gathering, it takes more time, more preparation, more ingredients, right? More money to spend on the things you need. And so it's something special, right? It's something that you want to share with those that you invite to come in. And so when these said, no, we have all these other things going on, okay, well then I want you to go out and bring whoever you can find to come in, bring them quickly. It's been done, there's still room. Okay, then go out further and compel them. I want this place full. I want this place to be filled with people that will partake of this meal, right, that I have prepared to enjoy it. Dear friend, can we theologize this a little bit? Is that a word? Maybe that's a tocopola word. All right, we're going to spiritualize this a little bit. Perhaps this is an image of God as he has prepared this great feast, right, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he has invited many, right? And many have said, no, right? I'm young. I've got priorities. I've got all of these other things that I have to do first. And we put God and we put church on the back burner. And so the Lord says, okay, then we need to go further out and bring all those who everyone else has rejected. Right? Am I stepping on toes just yet? Those who are inked and pierced and drunkards and street walkers and all of those others, compel them to come in. Because, dear friend, as much as we would like to think that perhaps this is just prepared for perfect people, I'm sorry to tell you that the church is not for perfect people. It's for imperfect people. And we've all have our mistakes and we all have our problems in life. But yet God is saying, I want my house full. And I would dare say that, of course, in heaven we'll have a new body and we'll be in the likeness of Christ. But I would dare say that there's going to be a many of folk that we have crossed ways with here that we perhaps look down on because they were different. And they're going to be in heaven if they've accepted Christ as their Savior. The Lord said, go into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Verse 24, this is a very stern warning here. It says, for I say unto you, that none of those which were bidden will taste of my supper. Friend, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having priorities in life. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having, you know, if God has blessed you with various things and abilities, and then that's all well and good. The moral of the story this morning is simply this: when those things replace God, right? When those things become God in our life, that's where the problem lies. And so Christ is saying to you today that He wants to have that preeminence in your life. And when the invitation is extended, that you come. For all these other things will fade away, right? All these other great accolades that we have will fade away. I think about some people. I'll tell this story, and I'm not going to chase too many rabbits this morning, but back several years ago, I was working a funeral in Mississippi, and I was lining the cars up for the procession to the cemetery, right? And there was a pastor in that community who was very fond of his titles that he had. And I'm not against giving people respect where it's due. Don't misunderstand me this morning. Because if I know that someone has earned their doctoral degree, I will call them doctor, right? Out of respect. That's the respectful thing to do. This gentleman pushed it, though, right? And so y'all know those kinds of people. But anyway, I had greeted this pastor, and I knew this pastor was going to be the way he is. And so I greeted him, because I had forgotten that he did have that title. And I said, good morning, preacher, which was common in Mississippi. That's what we call other preachers, right? We would call morning preacher. And he said, that's doctor. And I said, sir, I don't care about your degree or your pedigree. I just need you to get in line, right? This is what Christ is saying. All these other things, your degrees and pedigrees, whatever you have, doesn't matter if you don't have Christ. Because those that were bidden who rejected will never taste of this great supper. Friend, this morning, I don't know where your heart is. I don't know if you've given excuses. I don't know if you're like these that maybe have placed your worldly ambitions ahead of God. I don't know. But I will say this, that God has issued the invitation. There are many invitations in God's Word, and perhaps we could do a study on those at some point. Many invitations are extended. And God has re-invited and re-invited time and time again. What are we doing with that? Are we going to have excuse? Say, Lord, not yet. Not right now. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe at Christmas, maybe at Easter, maybe the next homecoming or great revival. Or perhaps we will hear those dreadful words, you will not taste of my supper. As the scripture says, that depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Dear friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear those words. And I'm thankful this morning that I won't hear those words, because I answered the invitation. Will you do the same? Will you be able to say to the Lord, hear the Lord say, welcome, my good and faithful servant, enter into this land that is promised for you. Taste of the feast, right? Or depart. We'll extend a hymn of invitation this morning. It's just one verse. It's your opportunity to do business with God. Maybe your whole Christian walk has been filled with excuses. Maybe God's called you to things and you haven't done that. Maybe God has called you to salvation and you've kept putting it off. The Lord is saying, come. Come today. Paul said that today is the day of salvation, right? It's not tomorrow, it's not next week, it's today. For we may not have tomorrow. Whatever it is, will you come as we sing?